You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it is Monday, the 14th of July 2025. The Australian share market down today by 0.1%, 8,570 points. 7 out of the 11 sectors were lower. The biggest losers, consumer discretionary, along with utilities, but energy and materials did particularly well. That's as the iron ore price continued to climb. For more on those details and more, I spoke with Kyle Rodder, a senior financial markets analyst at Capital.com. Kyle, so the ASX has been seesawing in and out of positive territory today. Why and which sectors are making the moves?
Well, second part of your question first, it's mostly the cyclical sector, so energy and materials that have performed reasonably well. I think the first part of your question is a little bit more interesting because it's almost a question of why hasn't it moved more? And we've seen a lot of stability and a lack of volatility in global markets over the last 3 or 4 days, despite the fact that the Trump administration has announced over the weekend fresh tariffs, a high tariff rate in the European Union and Canada, and there's continued concerns that deals haven't materialized, that tariffs are being hiked almost to Liberation Day levels in the United States. Yet you've got Wall Street at record highs, and effectively the market's calling Trump's bluff once again. So we've seen a real lack of volatility, despite the fact that we have seen these sort of risks reemerge, and it's a very asymmetric situation that investors are maybe a little bit complacent about what could be coming around the corner.
Speaking of around the corner, US CPI data out later this week. To what extent are you expecting tariffs to have an inflationary effect on the US and then the implication for US interest rates?
Well, we're expecting, or at least forecasters are expecting, a little bit of a pickup in headline and core inflation. And you don't really get to see the details, obviously, of those forecasts, but there's, more or less the expectation that some of those tariffs are starting to feed through into higher consumer prices. Up until this point in time, though, inflation in the United States has been, reasonably subdued, despite the fact that we've had these tariffs being applied. And there's maybe two factors to this. One, it's just businesses built up inventories very successfully before the application of tariffs. And now they're just working through those products that they bought pre-tariffs. But there's also the question of to what extent, tariffs will be inflationary at all on the basis that, or at least contribute to a price shock at all, on the basis that recent data has shown that the hit to consumer sentiment and subsequently consumer demand because of the tariffs and trade uncertainty has actually had a sort of depressing effect on prices because of, again, lower demand. The Fed, other market commentators think that eventually there'll be some pass through from the tariffs to consumers, but we haven't seen it yet. There's the expectation that maybe we'll see it in this data, but so far, the impact of tariffs has actually been rather limited and hasn't really shifted, of course, materially in the short term, maybe a little bit in the long term, but not too much in the short term, the Fed's ability to cut interest rates the next few meetings.
Let's stick with the overseas theme because the Australian Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, says he's had very successful discussions with Chinese steelmakers and iron ore producers in Shanghai. How's the market viewing these talks? Because the iron ore price is now edging closer to 100 US, which I think is a near 3-month high and way above what the government has been forecasting.
Yeah, the government always sort of obviously forecasts a very conservative estimate for iron ore prices. Both sides of politics have done it for years. It's always around sort of $55 to $60 per ton. And clearly, we've got prices well above those levels. Arguably, if we got prices back to those levels, it would be only in sort of recessionary circumstances in the global economy. But more or less, we've got Albanese over there, I think, more trying to secure relations with China at the same time. Obviously, there's coming this pressure from the United States and greater geopolitical risk sort of stemming from US trade policy that could compromise the the Australia-China trade relationship. So I don't think, this is manifested in a serious upward move, for example, in some of the, iron ore miners recently. I mean, that's just a much more sort of global story of, what's driving iron ore demand and effectively China's economy, which actually did see some relatively robust trade data in the last sort of 12 hours or so, which was actually probably a bit of an indicator of, again, front running ahead of some of tariffs. But what it does show is that effectively the government is trying to make sure that it maintains a strong and diplomatic relationship with our key trading partner and ensure that our key exports to that trading partner aren't at risk of potential trade retaliations from China because of our close strategic relationship with the United States.
And then what does this all mean for the iron ore players here in Australia? Because they've been lagging for some time, but more recently there seems to be a bit of a switch, a rotation out of these financial stocks, the likes of CBA, which had been hitting record highs over the past few months, back into the miners. Is that something that's still happening?
At the margins, we haven't really seen a big cyclical uplift yet in some of these names. And again, this is a global macro story. Of course, the Albanese government's efforts to try and, maintain strong relations with China and Chinese and Australian businesses with China is, at the margins a positive thing. But at the end of the day, what's happening with iron ore miners is driven by, global macro and expectations for Chinese economic activity. There is maybe a slight rotation going on in the market, but again, it's only very moderate. We're still seeing, for example, financials outperform, in particular, the banks and CBA specifically. So we're really just looking for effectively resilience in China's economy. If that starts to, wane because of, trade tensions across the globe and the iron ore price, starts to move lower as a result, we won't see that sort of rotation underway at all. We won't see that kind of strength coming through the iron ore miners. So, at the moment, it's just that kind of global macro story. It's the trade story. And iron ore prices have been resilient, but they remain, very much dictated by how trade policy, US trade policy impacts Chinese demand.
Now, Cole, you've been actually working out of the UK for the past couple of months. I'm wondering if there are any insights you can bring up.
I think the one thing that I've learned while being over here is that the standard of living is obviously going backwards. The economy isn't particularly strong, if not, it's stagnant. And it would appear to me, especially listening to the rhetoric coming through in the media about, politics over here, is that this is kind of the consequences and cost of leaving the reform process, both from a fiscal point of view, but maybe even more importantly, a structural point of view on growth in the long term, as well as productivity. And I think it comes at a really timely, I think it comes at a very relevant time for Australia, because obviously the discussion of productivity there or here is, incredibly important with this summit that we've got coming up, and the fact that we've had very anemic productivity growth over the last year, a few years as well. So the UK is now running into a situation where it's running into where it's a much weaker economy, where living standards are going backwards. Key reforms are being announced and tabled every day by the Starmer government that are being either slapped down because they're too difficult, or they're causing some kind of ructions in the markets because of, potential fiscal settings. It's all being left a little bit too late. So I think that's a key lesson I've learned, is that if policymakers don't take action on those big key structural as well as fiscal issues, when they arise, then they eventually, become very, very difficult to solve.
And finally, what are you telling your clients right now, and where are the opportunities for investors?
So what I'm talking to clients about is effectively the asymmetric risks in the market and the relevance of the trade narrative going forward. So effectively, I think the markets will continue to rally if we get trade deals, tariffs coming down. And even though, we are seeing stocks, for example, very close to record highs, investors will likely buy into that news if we happen to get it. However, the risks are incredibly asymmetric. And as we said off the top, markets are rather complacent at the moment. So if we do see a realization, perhaps, that tariffs are going to remain at these levels, and that effectively we're getting a reignition in tensions in global trade policy, there's a lot of good news to be priced out of the market, and that's a very asymmetric risk and a potentially significant risk to the downside.
That's Kyle Rotter there from capital.com. That wraps up the podcast for this Monday. Don't forget to click subscribe and to give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. See you next time.
This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision. This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.